Hello and welcome back, everybody, to the next series of the Let's Colour podcast. We are back for another series. Can you believe it? They've had us back again.
I can't believe it. I can't. It's great to be here. So much has happened since the last series, hasn't it, Steph?
So much. We have been so busy. It's been unbelievable. At work, we've got loads going on. Yeah. But also, I have finally purchased that cottagecore thatch cottage we talked about last time, complete with orchard of some kind of fruit tree, and we've even got a pond. So there you go, I'm proper grown up now.
And I decided to stay put in the city. Make sure, dear listener, that all styles from cottagecore to urban, urban core,
we've got it covered.
In fact, this is where we'll be recording the next episodes.
I'm so excited.
Let's Colour podcast in Casa Shillo. So if you hear the chirrup of police sirens and door, the Amazon delivery guy come, that is what is happening, because we are here. Live at home.
At your home. I'm very excited. Maybe you can come to my place next time.
Absolutely.
We'll see. You have to travel to the country.
I know.
How do you feel about that?
I'm a bit nervous, to be honest.
No 24-hour facilities where I live. No. And big news, we are now recording as well as recording the audio. So we've had to actually put our faces on today.
So you can see what we're doing. You can see what we're talking about, see how we do this show.
Absolutely.
Because it's just, it's lovely. Because to be able to sort of see and touch stuff, that's kind of like we're all about. It's so hard to bring colour to life on the radio, isn't it?
It is. Over the radio waves. No, absolutely. So we've got all the props. We've got all of the colour chips out. We can actually see each other, because actually we haven't really seen each other recording this before. This is a brand new experience for us.
I know, I'm a bit giddy actually with excitement.
Yes, but this is going to be really good, because we can show you everything, as we've said, and what we can't show you, we will make sure that we can link in the show notes as well.
And we've got a real treat for you, because this podcast is the series run-up to the series that we will be covering, Changing Rooms. So we've got three episodes with the big build-up towards Changing Rooms, and where we're going to be interviewing the stars, we're going to be going behind the scenes, we're going to be hearing all the gossip, all the things that went wrong, all the tears.
So excited.
The excitement and the applause. So we are really, really, really excited about that.
Really excited. And actually, we did get a few sneak peeks the other day, didn't we?
I'm
going to actually try not to use the word excited again, because I feel like I've said it about five times, but I am overjoyed that it is coming back. And honestly, the rooms look amazing. The transformations are super fabulous. I can't wait for everybody to see them and to, in a way, not have to think about it again, because we have thought about it nonstop for about 18 months, haven't
absolutely.
We? So,
absolutely.
But it'll be brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually went out and purchased a life-size figure of Sir Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen to have in my sitting room, as you can see.
I can see him from here, and he looks a little intimidating, actually.
He's so freshly printed, Steph, that actually for the first three days, I was sitting on my sofa thinking, what is that smell? It's so fresh. It's Lawrence, freshly printed Lawrence. And he enjoyed the football with us, to be honest. That was good fun.
I received your WhatsApp with the Go England banner that he was holding, and it did brighten up my day.
I have been dressing him up, but don't tell him.
Don't do that, He's wearing a very dapper suit. But more on that in a later episode.
Absolutely.
We don't want to spoil it for people now. So tell me, what else have you been up to recently?
Oh, it's been incredible. I mean, Changing Rooms has dominated everything that we've been doing, everything at work, because we've been following the show and we've been supporting the designers and decorators out there. Everything from, if a paint doesn't turn up or something doesn't turn up and you have to kind of like get on the phone and make sure that happens. If things are going wrong, or somebody needs to know how to paint something in a certain way, we have to recreate it here. So it's been this kind of mad circus of support behind the scenes. And then actually yesterday we got to hear from the horse's mouth about all of that sort of juicy gossip, which we will of course bring you. And it was such fun, because it really, really came alive. Because although we've been kind of one step removed from it, we were suddenly immersed into it. We were chatting to all of the production crew yesterday, and that was fantastic.
Was
And we've been diving into, getting into the 90s. Actually, it's been an interesting thing. So changing rooms is one thing, but actually this whole 90s vibe in fashion, in kind of film, in series, this 90s vibe is really kicking off. And that's really exciting. I shall show you some pictures of what I look like in the 90s. The 90s was a big decade for me. And again, we'll do that a bit later on. But the 90s have been, really, really key to the looks coming into the season. I think it's going to be a monster by Christmas. We are all going to be wearing purple suits and stuff like that, I reckon.
Do you think? Maybe. Do you think you've got it for the Christmas party? Maybe. If there will be one, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. But
I see what you mean. There are a lot of 90s trends, I think, kind of coming back. Mm. And I think particularly we're seeing them in a lot of like the fashion sort of coming through. But I don't know if I really want to bring a lot of the 90s interior trends back.
No, they're
not great, are they?
They're not. I've been down the wormhole of Instagram and I found I've found some real dreadful stuff, but this is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's 90s.decor.and.interiors. Here, Steph, just check this.
Oh, wow. I mean, there's a lot of pink going on there. Oh, quilted bedspreads and a nice balance there.
Oh, it's just, it was a kind of mishmash of time, because at the beginning of the 90s, it was all sort of pastel creams. And then we got into the sort of strip pine and look at that.
That's a very layered, chintz heavy sofa.
Layered colours. And when people started to get really confident with decorating towards the end of the 90s, with the changing room thing happened.
Yeah.
And then it went mental. It was just insane.
Yeah.
So I have to say, the 90s decor, I'm not so keen on. But my kids, my two girls, have really got into the 90s fashion.
Have they?
They're all dressing like little Spice Girls and they've got the sporty stuff going
on. That's what I remember of the 90s. Mm. Yeah, that's what I remember. You know, like the big, like, buffalo shoes that you used to have. I'm sure you had to buy them one Christmas for your girls.
I was too old. I'm way older than you, Steph.
Well,
I was like, looking.
Hey, you know, let's next episode we'll get some for you to try on.
Oh, yeah,
and
please.
You can, it'll be like we're back in the 90s. Yeah, I remember a lot of the fashion choices, but also like interiors wise, isn't it a bit of a decade of almost two halves? Because I guess early 90s, you were kind of coming out of that kind of 80s. You had all these natural hints maybe coming through. All of these, you know, apple whites and, you know, daffodil whites, or, you know, all of those sorts of just off-white tones. Mm. And then, like, changing rooms happened later in the 90s. And then all of a sudden, you had these kind of more explosions of colour.
Yeah.
Which has been really, really refreshing, I think, at that time to see. And it's definitely a programme we talked about on the podcast before that really inspired me to want to work in interiors, and hence I do the job that I do. So really interesting. I think the 90s,
I think the decor might, those the kind of like, I mean, we're looking at this stuff and it's really over the top, but I think that craft thing of the 90s, people doing stuff themselves, like hand painting, you know, doing effects. I've seen lots of broken effects, like kind of like aged plaster finishes and layered things that are really cool.
Loads
really
of those.
Cool.
They are
but
cool.
I just can see, I can't see the little sort of chintzy stencils coming back, and I can't see sponging and bagging and all of that stuff, but I can see this level of craft, which I think is going to be big, and people have started to do it in lockdown, so I think that kind of, you know, getting out the paintbrushes and doing something up and making it more valuable and more personal is getting bigger and bigger. And that was definitely started in the 90s.
Definitely doing, I think, more things that feel like really handmade, I think, would be, definitely feels like it's coming back. I'm seeing like a lot of painted, like freehand murals and things at the moment. So stenciling feels like it's, you know, people have been experimenting with it, and to some extent it goes well for some people. But what I'm seeing more of are loads of more people doing like really kind of freehand kind of shapes and curves. And, you know, I mean, I know you do a lot of freehand painting as well, don't you? But you're a proper like artistic queen. So it would be much better than my like blocky rubbish would do. But I think it's all these kind of like more Scandi influences that are a bit more kind of freehand, a bit looser. And so perhaps that's a modern interpretation of some of the 90s things that coming back, but just in a nicer, more modern way.
Yeah. I'm going to get personal now, Steph, because I'm going to ask you about how is the cottage going?
How's the cottage going?
Because I know that you've left home, and you've left home and you're kind of like waiting to get into the cottage, and I want to know what you're going to decorate. Are you going to do stenciling in your kitchen? Are you going to have little festoons of grapes, ivy, stenciled?
Maybe I should, actually. Maybe those 3D fresco tiles.
Yes,
maybe
a bit of cork.
They're actually all there at the moment. So sadly, I will be ripping that out and replacing it. I'm sorry. I know. I just, you know, borders, not for me.
God, give it 2 more months and that you'll be so cool.
Maybe.
You'll be regretting it. Maybe.
Yeah, I'd be so on trend and I would have just ripped it all out. It's a really interesting question. What am I going to do with this cottage? Because it's a difficult one because my tastes are a little bit more modern. I'm a bit of a mid-century modern gal. So I've got my lovely G-Plan sideboard and I've invested in some really lovely chairs, like mid-century modern in my older home is where it was at. And all of a sudden I've decided to go like a few centuries
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
And I've got beams, I've got uneven walls, I've got lime render that I can and can't paint. I've got it all going on. So I don't really know what to do, actually. We might dedicate an episode to what am I going to do with my home, Dr. Dulux, as part of the podcast.
Hey, yeah, I am dying to see this place. I am so dying to see this place.
But it is difficult when you've got a house that is like entrenched in a certain style. And I can't get rid of that. I can't get rid of the beams and stuff. And I love it.
Yeah.
But how do you apply your taste to something that actually is quite intrinsically, you know, how it is? It's going to be an interesting journey, but I'm very much wanting to use the heritage colors, of course,
yeah,
because, you know,
absolutely,
that would make sense
and hit the modern home. You know, you love the modern home.
Oh,
don't
I love
you?
The modern home.
Modern home's brilliant and house is brilliant for that kind of inspiration, but I've started to see on the modern home a lot more color coming in.
Yes,
less kind of like this minimalism. It's not, it's minimalism, but it's less kind of it's less sort of stark. So you see homes, you're thinking, well, they're gorgeous, but they're all kind of like not me. But this so maybe cottage core, you and the cottage could be.
I can bring it back.
So Steph, I am going to shamelessly, neatly segue from cottage core into our color lookbook.
Yes, and it's a good one this week, isn't it?
It is a good one.
This is a particularly interesting colour, and also, fun fact, whose favourite colour is this?
It's Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen's favourite colour.
Mr. LLB is his favourite colour. We know that he does like a bit of purple. And we didn't also cover this in our first series either, where we did a deep dive into each of the individual colours. So we did most of them, but we neglected purple. How could we do that?
Because you either love it, Steph, or you hate it.
This is very true, actually. Yeah, you're right. So it's definitely one of those colours that is a bit polarising, isn't it?
Mm.
And it's one of those colours that I think people are, you're right, it's a problem child because they're scared of using it, because you don't want anything to look like, you know, a 4-year-old child's bedroom when you use it, do you? But there are some really, really lovely shades and tones, which we'll come on to talk about later. But yeah, in the meantime, tell me all about Violet.
Well, Violet has the most incredible history. I mean, he's associated with great wealth and status. Mm. I mean, violet was the most expensive colour known to man. To be able to make violet, it was made by the early Phoenicians between sort of 3000 and 300 BC. And it was a colour that was pulled. It was a very hard colour to make naturally. But there were these sea snails called murex snails, and you boiled them up, absolutely stank apparently, and you boiled them up, and they exuded this incredible purple colour. And it was hugely expensive. It was 15 times more expensive than gold at the time.
Yeah.
And this dye was used specifically for very sort of for the robes and dyeing fabric of real high status people.
Yeah.
And even up to Roman times, and you could see that the people in the Senate would have had a band of purple on their white toga.
Yeah,
anything purple was associated with royalty and regality.
And that's still the same today.
It is the same today. We sort of see purple in it. I mean, in terms of dyes for paints and for clothes now, it was only in the Georgian times that they managed to make purple in any huge amount.
Mm.
And that purple became this really cool colour. I mean, Queen Victoria was painted in a purple dress and everybody wanted purple in the time. So it's an incredible colour. It's also associated with mysticism.
Yes,
I found this fantastic. I was looking at this sort of, the Buddhists saw that purple was a healing colour. It solved emotional problems, rheumatism, epilepsy, reduced the pain in deep tissue. Don't know what you did, rubbed something on, not sure what that would have been. But also, and the violet flame is supposedly charged with the light of divine freedom, and it's used to burn off karma from other lifetimes on all levels.
I mean,
so
I love the sound of that. If where we could get it from,
I don't know. If we burn a purple stripe card on the Dulux thing,
do it.
And then all the bad karma will be gone. Apparently,
excellent. Let's do it later.
Yeah, it's an
we won't do it on the show because that might go wrong.
You were looking at some
safety nightmare.
Absolutely, absolutely. You were looking at some stats, or you were kind of like doing a deep dive into kind of what people were talking about purple, and you said it's coming back.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because I was very aware that we didn't cover violet, you know, for all the reasons we've talked about. So did a little research, got on the old internet there, and definitely a colour that is coming back. So loads of search volume over the past kind of 18 months or so, particularly around like blues and the bluey kind of end of the spectrum, including violet, and particularly in bedrooms. So I mean, complete speculation, really, but I kind of wonder if we are, now we're kind of more enclosed in our spaces, we're needing a space to retreat to, we're needing a space to be a bit more
more contemplative.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That was the word I was looking for. Yeah. Thank you. So definitely feels like you can get that from green, and it's lovely to be surrounded by that green of nature, but perhaps that more spirituality that's coming out in purple is something that people want to go towards for a bedroom space.
I agree with you. I mean, in terms of colour psychology, if that's your thing, purple is associated with creative problem solving, with a dreamlike state, with real, like you say, contemplation, dreams, thoughtful. It's a very complex colour. Fantastic in a bedroom.
Yes, I think that's where I would use it.
Yeah, grown up bedrooms, really dark. Aubergine, teenage girls who are going off the rails and getting really annoying. Bright purple seem to like that somehow.
Yes, do you know what? Going back to the 90s, in my 90s bedroom, I had two Dulux colours. I was Dulux even then. Sexy pink, which now feels a bit inappropriate for a 15-year-old. And I'm sure we can all imagine what that colour looks like. And like a pretty like a kind of lilac-y. I think it was called sugared lilac. But it was similar to this. Two walls in sexy pink, the other two walls in sugared lilac. I thought it looked amazing. And I had a purple carpet.
Oh, can you imagine that? Steph, you're living
the
dream.
I was.
Living the dream.
So, and that's why people like me, as 15-year-olds, it's people like me that scare people away from lilac, I think, and violet, because you don't want to do that, really. That's not a good idea.
Anything goes. I'm sorry. But anything goes, Steph. Anything goes. Tell us about the lilacs that are big at the moment and what we can put them with. So, because although we're saying lilac's a problem child and you either love it or hate it, it's actually becoming a hugely cool colour at the minute, and there are some gorgeous shades of lilac, especially in those berry tones. Steph, show us.
Over to centre stage for the lilac. So I've picked out a few of my favourites here because, as we've said, I think it's really easy to kind of think about, and I'm going to just reach over and get this fan deck here. It's really easy to think about purples and go, oh, purple. Because you think of purple and you think about these really like kind of purpley shades, don't you? These like super duper, like really kind of regal purples, actually. Yeah. But they don't all have to be like this. So, you know, if you want to use that colour, then absolutely, that's a very statement colour.
I'd use that on a little chair or something.
I was going to say,
like
on
a pop
an accent.
Of something.
Yeah.
And then I put it in the cupboard.
Up.
I'll put it on the street and see if somebody would nick it.
Nice, yeah. We love all the colours here, Marianne.
We're all equally loved.
So those sorts of colours actually probably are quite difficult to use. However, if you just like tone it down very slightly, there's a little bit more kind of grey in this colour. And I actually love the name of this colour, I think, more than anything else. It's called Prom Queen.
Ooh,
and doesn't it just look like Prom Queen?
It does look like a prom queen.
I just love it. It's
That's
really nice.
Brilliant.
And
we
I wonder,
are good at naming colours, aren't
we? Of course
Steph?
We are. I, you know, I'm going to claim this is my own work, obviously. I definitely named this one, I think. Yeah. It's a really lovely colour. And I think some of the reason why colours like this are also coming back is because, you know, we've all done a bit of pink now. And, you know, perhaps the bluer into the violet is it the new pink, perhaps?
Is a lilac the new pink?
So
it could be. I'm liking these as well,
colour.
Steph. This is kind of like more, I love these berry kind of, these gorgeous berry tones.
We all know I like a dark colour, right? Yeah. So these ones are ones that I've picked out. These are actually from our colour mixing wall, but they are also available in Simply Refresh feature wall collection.
Describe them.
Describe them. Here we go. So this is a very, very dark purple. It's almost kind of like a kind of aubergine-y sort of colour.
It's beautiful.
It's called Decadent Damson, and I absolutely love it. It looks amazing. It's actually on the front cover of our Let's Colour magazine, which you have a copy of there, Marianne. So do show, because it is very beautiful, if I do say so myself.
That's gorgeous.
It's a really beautiful colour. It's kind of got real depth to it, but it still looks really tranquil. Mm. So that's really nice. And then another one here called, and I never know how to say this, acai berry? Are we saying acai?
Acai.
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 Who knows?
Acai.
Anyway, look it up.
I do.
Look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
This is also a really, really lovely colour
that's
as
beautiful.
Well. And I think just both of those, either like together or like layered in this way, I think looks really, really good. So I really like the darker shades. However, there are some equally, I'll save those for a little minute. I actually really like this, which I guess if you're seeing that on camera right now, probably won't look like much. But it's a very, very pale lilac. It's almost like a kind of greyed off lilac. I really, really like this.
What's that called?
It's called Chic Lilac.
Oh,
which is very chic, if I do say so myself. But then when you start to layer them together, I think, with some of those darker purples, I think they really look good.
When we talk about layering, we talk about a thing called tone on tone. So it's kind of like the same color but different tones of the same color, and the darkest tone is always the one that kind of like hits you between the eyes, and then the lighter ones step walls and things back. So it's a really clever way of decorating with a colour. Now, we're also asked all the time, what colours go with purple?
Absolutely. So I'm gonna grab my colour wheel here. So if we're looking at these colours, you can probably see that they're in this sort of kind of between the reds and the blues. Obviously, that makes purple, you know.
You've got to watch the video, guys, because nobody can, they can't, they're trying to imagine this stuff.
I know,
it's impossible.
Well, they need to watch us.
Steph's holding
camera.
A colour wheel. She's
I'm holding
got the colour
my
colour wheel.
Yeah. And opposite purple on the colour wheel is these kind of yellowy green sort of tones. So looks really,
love,
really good.
Love.
I think this with like a shot of really lovely yellow would look actually really, really dramatic.
Yeah.
So actually you've got a yellow cushion there behind you, Marianne.
I've got a yellow cushion
over.
Pass
that
over.
Little look.
Chuck that
this
over
is
there.
A very bright yellow, so I wouldn't perhaps suggest that you would paint your entire room in this kind of mustardy yellow velvet. But even just like an accent, you know, like a chair painted in this colour, or you know, yellow cushions or accessories.
Just one that
look
pop
great.
Looks great.
Definitely.
There's another colour here. You were looking at the greens as well.
I do.
Steph,
like
I painted
it with
this
green.
Up so you could have a look at that. See
I love
that
it.
Looks like.
So
I love
we've
it. Got this painted green, a really, really beautiful, soft olive green. I think that's overtly olive.
It
and
looks brilliant.
Oh,
I love it.
Green and purple, they just work so well together, don't they? And
they
I think
really
anything
do.
Green, green's the ultimate neutral colour, works with everything,
yes.
But it particularly works with purple. So
looks
even
great.
If you're telling us that you hate it, I'm sorry, we're going to change your mind. Put it with a bit of green and it will look absolutely
and
amazing.
And this is, I think, the key to using violet successfully, is that you have to kind of have a slightly more toned down and layer it with different colours that make it more palatable. And green is a fail-safe. We know that from our pink episode, of course. You know, pink and green obviously go very well together. Green just goes well with everything. So if you're ever unsure, get a green in there. Get a house plant.
Yeah.
We love a house plant, don't we?
And check out the show notes, because you'll see all of these colours here and you can see how gorgeous these combinations are together, because we're talking about them.
Yeah.
And honestly, we're not lying. We're
they
not
do
kidding.
Look good,
they
don't
are
they?
Gorgeous.
They do,
they're gorgeous.
If we do say so ourselves.
Now, I think these are very interesting. These kind of transitional violets or purples between blue and violet. They're really clever colours. Explain these, Steph.
Yeah, they're really interesting, I think. So obviously you've got your more, you know, I've got my prom queen back here.
Yeah,
this is
a
very bright purple. And this, you know, would kind of go one side. And if you imagine on the other end of the spectrum, you've got your blues, and these kind of sit in the middle. And the reason I think they're really clever is because they are going to be those colours that in different lights will look quite different. And I think they create a really special ambience if they are colours that you know, light, that if you have specific lights coming onto them, they're going to look really different and really interesting. So this kind of darker bluey violet that I've got here is actually called Blue Incense. And it's a really lovely colour. I think some people would describe it as blue. And some people would describe it as violet. It is one of those colours that I think really sits in the middle.
I reckon if you burnt that, Steph, that would be the thing that would get rid of our bad karma.
It's the violet flame.
Yeah.
It is the violet flame, isn't it?
That
might be the thing. It could be, actually, couldn't it? It would be really nice in a bedroom. Mm-hmm. Really nice. And then the other one I've got in my hand is lavender quartz, which is in our kind of core range of colour that you can just buy off the shelf in any kind of good DIY store. And this is a great colour. And the reason I picked this one is because, again, it feels like it's got a little bit of blue in it. We painted a front door in this a few years ago. Yeah, for some Dulux content. But then actually I gave the paint to a friend after that and she's painted it at her front door. And it's really, really beautiful. Yeah. Again, it just feels like, the new pink, perhaps? Ooh. You know, is this the new pink front door colour? I think it might well be. So some really, really nice, I think, purples there. And again, lovely. They would go really well with green. They would go really well with, you know, some of the other kind of more harmonious colours. Like we've got some pinks going on. Ooh. I think it would be really, they're really great colours to use. So don't shy away from the violets, purple. Because there is a violet out there for everybody.
No.
You just have to find it.
They just need to be loved.
Yeah.
So, Steph, I think we haven't exhausted purple because we haven't really started on purple, but I reckon we should move now. I've got my stethoscope here and I'm dying to become Dr. Dulux.
You've got a stethoscope.
I have.
I'm really jealous.
I have. Here.
You really have.
I'm going to check. I can check out your heart later on if you want. Oh, have you got any breathing problems?
maybe I will by the time that we finish.
I'm putting it on.
Who knows?
So I'm getting into the zone. So our next section of the show is
Dr. Dulux. We absolutely love this section of the show. So this, for those of you who aren't familiar with the podcast, and how dare you not be by now, but anyway, we'll forgive you. This is the section of the show where we ask Marianne, aka dressed as Dr. Dulux today.
Dr. Dulux.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Rocking that stethoscope. Mm-hmm. We ask Marianne to show us some of her and give us some of her tips on some of your real DIY dilemmas. So, Dr. Dulux, aka Marianne, this one is from Sophie in Reading. And Sophie in Reading, I am with you 100% on this because this is right up my street, this issue. So, her message reads, Dr. Dulux! I need help in big capital letters. I want to decorate a beautiful new bedroom for my daughter. Ah, so we've recently moved and it needs a refresh. However, this is also in capitals, it's very important. Despite my best efforts, she is intent on having a Frozen themed bedroom with all of her glorious Technicolor trinkets on show, in brackets, yuck. I think Sophie doesn't really like them very much, and I see where she's coming from. How can I have a fun but tasteful bedroom for her that pleases me too?
Oh, who doesn't want a Frozen themed bedroom, to be honest, Steph?
I don't, but yes, I can see why that would be attractive to a, say, 4 or 5 year old.
It's always a dilemma because they grow up so quickly and they change their mind so quickly. So literally within 2 weeks, that Frozen bedroom will want to be something else. So I would suggest, as Dr. Dulux, I would prescribe a couple of colours here. I'd go for a really, really lovely, soft, misty blue on the walls, a colour like mineral mist. Or if you wanted it slightly more grown up, you could go for a colour called Frosted Steel, which is a kind of grey with a little bit of blue.
Really lovely.
And that will give you that sort of sense of frozen and being outside and kind of like, you know, walking in the snow and all that kind of thing. And then I would stencil on some snowflakes or little kind of like little snowflakes or something. And if you stencil them on with white, then within 2 weeks, keep the original paint, keep the roller wet in a plastic bag.
Absolutely.
And you can just roll her over them when she changes her mind.
Yep.
So I would just do little kind of like, have fun bits around the room. Snowflakes will be really, really pretty, really, really simple to do.
Really
so you get
fun.
Snowflake stencils and then just roll them out when she's had enough of them. And then you've got this beautiful, beautiful blue background and it can grow up with her.
Yes, absolutely. And the reason I love this question so much is because, you know, I have two girls and a boy as well. And, you know, kids love themes, don't they? They absolutely love them. But, you know, bless them. They take them to the extreme. So unfortunately, my nan, bless her heart, thought she was doing a good thing.
She's listening. Careful, Steph.
I know, I have to be careful. I'm very grateful. However, there's a line, and has bought my little one some frozen bedding, and it's, you know, a massive picture of Elsa on it, and it's purple and blue, and, you know, it's just, it's not in keeping with my mid-century modern vibes, I'll be honest. So I struggle with really balancing that. I want a really nice home, and I also want my kids to have lovely bedrooms, don't get me wrong, but you know, when it is so in your face like that, and you know they're going to grow out of it in 2 weeks' time, it's really difficult to know how to handle that. And I would say, Sophie and Redding, that the plastic trinkets, storage is your friend, right? So you're going to need to get those in some storage, some really attractive storage. And there are loads of different options at the moment. Everyone is really craving storage, of course. So definitely get some storage. The other really nice thing that I've seen is, you know, you can get these really nice, you will know this because I'm sure you have one. You get these really nice kind of like printmakers trays, you know, that they put all of their printware in, and they've got these little tiny sections in them. I've seen some really clever uses of people that have bought one of those, painted them up in, you know, a lovely purple, a very frozen themed purple perhaps, and then put all of their sons or daughters' little trinkets tastefully displayed in this little like printer's tray that's up on the wall. I think that's a good compromise.
I like that.
Stylish that's been upcycled with some nice paint. Bang, we're all a winner. And the trinkets get to go in there.
Oh,
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Everybody's happy.
Everyone's happy. Yeah, exactly. And if one does change their mind and next week they're into, you know, Bob the Builder, if he's coming back. He's from the 90s, isn't he?
I think he's from the 90s.
He is. Maybe he's not coming back.
Yeah, no, I don't think
so. Is he coming back?
I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know.
Went away.
Who knows? Maybe he didn't. Then you can just roll over those snowflakes and, you know, put a post van on the wall.
Jobs are good.
Who knows?
Right.
Anyway, so hopefully we have answered that question. Sophie from Reading, do let us know how it goes.
Oh, yes.
We'd love to see the output of that, and hopefully some smiling, happy children's faces. Fingers crossed. Otherwise, sorry, Sophie from Reading. Should we move on to the next one?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
So this one is from Chris, and he is from Harpenden. So, Dr. Dulux, I would really like to replace my UPVC front door, but I really can't quite afford to do it just yet. Is there a paint that I can use to make it okay for now?
Oh, do you know, actually, this is so topical because my daughter has just done, at the weekend, she wanted to paint her front door and she did exactly this. And there is a little section at the back of the Let's Colour Guide that will tell you exactly how to do it. So the first thing you need to do is to clean that door, get all the muck off it, wipe it down. Next thing you need to do is give it a light sand. Then with a brush, dust off all the dust and then apply a coat of primer for difficult surfaces. So that primer will really give a great key onto the UPVC, and once that's dry, I want a couple of coats of Dulux Weather Shield in quick drying satin. Honestly, it is the simplest and quickest transformation of a front door. The thing you have to do as well is make sure you have a great day, so it's sunshiny, yes, and there should be sun on its way. So, and make sure you've got a couple of hours, so leave it to dry as long as humanly possible before you close that front door. So that's the only kind of danger that you have with the quick drying paints, is they touch dry almost instantly, which is great because it means dust and rubbish doesn't stick to them.
Yep.
But it does mean that you've got to let them cure, you know, before you close the front door. But that is, it's really simple.
And loads of people think that it's not possible. And we get this question actually so often. Mm. And it's great. I mean, I'm going to sound really boring, but I cannot speak enough about the joy of a good primer.
I know. It's the hidden heroine or hidden hero of the painting world.
Don't
a good
talk
primer.
Enough about primers.
Yeah, if you can't get the paint to stick, because if you don't put a good primer on, paint doesn't stick.
There you go.
And it comes off, and we get complaints. And we always say, did you put a good primer on? The answer is generally
no. You can't skip that out. So I think if you get a really good primer on anything, mm-hmm, whether it's kitchen cabinets, whether it's like melamine, whether it's tiles, whether it's front doors, anything is possible, pretty much. So, yeah, definitely get yourself a really good primer.
Primer for difficult surfaces. And it's water-based, so it dries really quickly. Put it on with a roller. Roll in a brush. Brush for all the fiddly bits. Roller for the flat surfaces. Yeah. And it just makes such a good job.
Yeah. And you can pretty much get any colour mixed in quick drying satin as well. So you don't have to feel like you're tied into a specific colour range. You know, you can get loads of different colours mixed. Mm. So, yeah, loads of different choice there. So, Chris, I hope that has answered your question. And we'd love to know what colour you painted.
Take a snap, send it in. We need to see it.
Always love a painted front door. Mm. So maybe in a purple. Who knows? Maybe we've inspired him to do a violet. Maybe not. I don't know. Who knows? So, shall we have another one?
Go on.
Let's do one more. So, this time we've got Jason and he is from Coventry. Hi, Dr. Dulux. Over lockdown, I think you'll like this one. Over lockdown, I've built myself an outdoor bar and kitchen area.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
You like it already? I told you. Yeah. I've rendered it all by myself. And that's very impressive, actually. Yeah. And now it needs painting. Can you help advise what I can use and how I can decorate it to complement the rest of my garden? Ooh. I've tried white, but it was very bright.
And it gets mucky. They get mucky out there.
Yeah, we don't want extra cleaning.
I go for light layers of green. I mean, it's a beautiful green called Guild Green. I'm thinking of this. It's a beautiful colour. It's one of the heritage colours. You can get it mixed in a weather shield, smooth masonry paint. And I would use layers of green outside. And then your bar will blend with your garden. It will make the garden look bigger because it'll be part of it.
Yeah.
And actually green is the most forgiving colour for getting dirt because you can't see it on the surface. But use a weather shield masonry finish, and you could use a cuprinol shade on the wood. Something like old English green.
Oh, that's a nice
so
green.
Guild green on your masonry, old English green on the woodwork. Oh my word, that would look absolutely gorgeous, and you'd get some plants trailing up over the back of it.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah, absolutely lovely. So lovely quick drying stuff as well. Yeah, and they've got guarantees. So
absolutely.
Cuprinol, 6-year guarantee against the weather.
And the weather shield is 15-year guarantee as well.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. We would like to think that your new outdoor bar would look as good in 15 years if you did paint it with weather shield than it would do today. So yeah, really great suggestions there.
I like that question, Steph.
I thought you would.
Sprung that on me and I rose to the challenge.
Outdoor bar, I thought would catch your attention.
It did.
Which it did. So, yeah, I think we should all have an outdoor bar. I'm really seeing quite a lot of these, like, kind of tiki bars kind of going on. You know, like, with the grass skirt kind of roof. Mm. Love that.
Yeah, I like
that
too.
Bit of rattan. Yeah. Lovely.
Do you think the 6-year guarantee extends to gin and tonic poured over it? Do you think that kind of, like, reduces the lifespan?
Maybe we should try that.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not sure, personally. We'd have to check. However, it's a great experiment to do one day, isn't it? So let's give it a go.
We will.
So that brings us to the end of Dr. Dulux for today. And we've even thrown an extra one in there for you. And I thought you did a marvellous job.
Thank you.
Marvellous job. So now, unfortunately, you have to remove your stethoscope. We don't have to, but it might look a bit weird
when
we go out for lunch later.
I can't be in the Dr. Dulux zone to round the show.
People might think you're an actual doctor. That would go. Yeah. Interestingly. Excellent. So, yes, thank you for answering all of those questions. And, of course, you can get all of those how-to videos, all of those tips, all of those articles on the Dulux website, dulux.co.uk. And we will put all of those links in the show notes. Really, really important that we can all go and have a look at those. And, get on with some jobs this weekend.
Absolutely.
Some outdoor bars being painted.
Steph, I think we've come to the end of the show.
I think you're right.
I know.
Now, it always goes really quick.
I know, it does go really quickly. So what is everybody in for? What's the exciting show, the theme of the show in our next episode? So you've got to tune into the next episode because it's getting more exciting
as we get
closer to the Changing Rooms episodes.
It is, and I am really looking forward to the next episode. I'm trying to use a different word other than excited. I need to expand my vocabulary.
Thrilled.
I am thrilled with the next show. Does that make sense?
Not really.
It doesn't anyway.
No.
I'm really excited for the next one. Because the next one is all about
the Dulux dog.
Because you have been raiding our archives, haven't you?
I have.
And the dog is just such an icon in our history. And I tell you what, it is the first question that everybody asks me when they find out where I work. Yeah. So we
thought. Do you see the dog every day? Yes, we do.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's even
at
got
the
his
moment.
Own parking space. Did you know that?
Yeah. Umbrella holder. Special
chauffeur.
Let's not give it all away.
No, no.
We need some show content for next week. So, really excited.
I'll have to meet again.
About next week's episode, and it will be a really good one. It will answer all of those questions that we all have about the Dulux dog.
So, thanks everyone for listening. You must tune in for the next episode of Let's Colour. flipping heck, we've never done it as good as that.
Never do that as well.